its current state. On 90.5 WKAR, I'm Mark Bayshore. The country's top comedians are appearing in Grand Rapids through Sunday at Gilda's Laugh Fest. The event supports the work of Gilda's Club of Grand Rapids, inspired by the late Gilda Radner to help people who are dealing with cancer. Tonight at 8 p.m., the festival features W. Kamau Bell. He's the host of a show called Totally Biased. Seen Thursday nights on FX, he calls his performance the W. Kamau Bell Curve, Ending Racism in 1 Hour. I mentioned to Bell that that might have a lot of people looking forward to 9 p.m. tonight.
Me too.
What do you do in the show?
Time for this racism to be over.
What do you do in the show?
Tell jokes. You know, it's about an hour long, and I go through it's a lot of pop culture and topical stuff and a little bit of unknown history, and all with the goal of ending racism hilariously. Which, you know, Martin Luther King tried to end racism, but he didn't do it hilariously. So, you know, I am better than him is all I'm saying.
One of America's top comedians and actors, Chris Rock, was instrumental in getting you on television. He's the executive producer of Totally Biased and has appeared on the show. How did that come about?
It sounds like it was really easy, but it was just, you know, I knew a couple key people who knew him, and they had seen my show. One of them is Chuck Sklar, who's now an executive producer on the show, and one is Jocelyn Cooper, who runs a website called Afropunk. And they both knew him and apparently got in his ear and told him he needed to see my live show, The W. Kamau Bell Curve. And so at one point I did it in New York, and it was a good show. I did it at the UCB Theater, and then afterwards I was backstage, and he sort of floated backstage on a cloud and, you know, all dressed in black like it was The Matrix, and told me he thought I was funny. And then a couple months later, he called me up and said he wanted to try to do a TV show with me, which I didn't know what that meant, but here we are.
Well, Totally Biased has a lot of political humor, and you have a liberal approach to most topics.
I've been accused of being a liberal, yes.
Do you hear from viewers who are conservative as well as liberal?
I do hear from viewers who are conservative, and I think sometimes, you know, certainly there's people who don't like me who are on both sides of the aisle, and there's also people who like me on both sides of the aisle. I've heard from some conservative people that they like the show. So I think it's,
how do you
know,
feel
we're
about
not,
that? How do you feel about that?
You know, I feel it good. It feels like it makes sense what I'm talking about. Like, you know, like, I'm not trying to rep the Democratic Party. I'm just trying to rep the things that I think make sense. And so I don't think making sense is wholly one party's, you know, bailiwick. As we can see from the whole breakdown of the sequester, clearly both people can be filled with nonsense.
Well, we want a healthy two-party system, right? Isn't that
or a healthy system? I don't think a number of parties doesn't have to be just two parties. Certainly, other countries have more than two and seem to figure out how to do it. So, I think we just want a healthy system.
You may be liberal, but that doesn't mean you support President Obama all the time.
The Obama administration is under fire this week after a leaked Justice Department memo said that the government is allowed to kill U.S. citizens living abroad based only on the suspicion that they're quote-unquote imminent threats. So, can we define an imminent threat, please?
Imminence does not mean that the United States has to have clear evidence that a specific attack on U.S. persons or interests is underway.
Oh, so they don't need evidence to kill people. So what the administration means by imminent threat is that the administration is an imminent threat. Somewhere the Nobel Committee is going, which one of us is going to ask President Obama to return that Peace Prize? I mean, they made Milli Vanilli give back that Grammy.
No, I mean, you know, that's the thing. I certainly voted for Obama twice, but that doesn't, just because you vote for somebody doesn't mean you have to go along with everything they say and do. So I think that, you know, I think the problem is with this country is that the right gets so extreme sometimes that you feel like, I would like to criticize Obama, but I'm afraid if I do, I'm going to end up with a Tea Party rally leaping up behind me. So I got to be careful.
Racial dynamics are a big part of the show. You're an African-American guy with a white wife and a biracial.
No, I'm a black guy. I'm a black guy.
You're a black guy. Black, not an African-American. Okay.
No. That sounds like I'm about to go to court. I'd like to be a black guy.
Okay. With a white wife and a biracial child, a life that gives you a variety of perspectives on race in this country.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're going to end racism, you might as well get in the thick of it and try to bring all the races together personally. So, yeah, so, you know, I'm a black guy with white in-laws, and the only thing that makes having in-laws harder is making them a different race than you. So, like, I think that, you know, I'm in the middle of it, and that's why the show, and I lived in San Francisco for 15 years, which is a hotbed of lots of different things. So I feel like that all sort of stewed my perspective.
Last month, Forrest Whitaker, the black actor known for a lot of great roles, perhaps best known for Idi Amin in The Last King of Scotland, was stopped and frisked at a deli in Manhattan. Apparently, an employee thought he'd shoplifted something, which he hadn't.
Yogurt, which is not, I don't know, on the list of things that shoplifters tend to shoplift, I think yogurt is pretty low on that list, but continue.
What did you make of that?
Well, you know, I think that, sadly, you know, the thing that I made of it is that, oh, you can't be famous enough to not be racially profiled. Like, you know, like, he has an Academy Award. You would think that would make him famous enough to not be racially profiled. And I sort of feel like if we're going to continue to racially profile people, we should at least put a list together of these are the black people you shouldn't racially profile. Oscar winners, Nobel Prize winners, presidents, you know, like I just feel like, so that they can at least get through their day. Me, I understand. I'm a lowly late night cable show host. I'll still take some racial profiling, but we should allow a few people out of that ridiculous nonsense.
Now, at a lot of your live performances, you seek out a multiracial audience by offering buy one, get one free ticketing to people who bring a friend of a different race.
Absolutely.
How would you describe the audiences that idea produces, and will you be doing that in Grand Rapids tonight?
I think we're doing it through the festival, so I don't know that we are doing it because we're doing it through the festival that's happening there. But when I do that, it definitely changes the makeup of the audience. You get a little bit of everybody, which is great, because I think the only way to end racism is to actually get everybody in the room. You know, I think we all need to have our separate meetings where we talk about stuff and air grievances, but if we're actually going to end racism, we need to get at least, it's like, you know, it's like Noah's Ark. We need two of everybody.
Well, at the risk of getting a little heavy here on you, do you view your comedy more as activism or more as therapy? I mean, people come to laugh.
That's funny. I didn't guess you're going to say therapy, but yes.
Well, I mean, that's what good comedy is. Hopefully, it's thought provoking. But is it more of one than the other? More activism or more therapy?
No. I mean, you know, people have called me an activist. I think even my bio has called me an activist because I didn't write it. But I think activism is a very specific thing. It's like, you know, it's getting up early. I mean, it can happen either in the streets or on your computer, but it's really it's a big job, and I wouldn't want to say that. I think comedy can sort of help fuel the fires of activism if it's good, and it also can fuel the fires of activism if it's really, really bad. But, you know, I don't think that the comedy, I wouldn't describe it as activism, because ultimately on stage, I'm trying to get the same big, healthy gut laughs that every comedian is trying to get. And if I forget to do that, then it suddenly becomes just a really poorly researched speech.
Man on the Street segments are a big part of Totally Biased. Lots of, or a number of show hosts do that, notably Jay Leno.
So here's my issue. I'll show you a picture of my daughter. Oh, yeah, that's her.
Oh, beautiful.
And she, like Barack Obama, is mixed raced.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, my wife is white.
Okay.
Black dude. Is that cool?
I can tell a little bit,
it's got a little tense.
You couldn't find no nice coordinated sister like myself for your brother?
So this is my daughter. She's a mixed race kid. My wife's white. We got so excited about Barack Obama, mixed race dude, that we decided to get a mixed race baby.
Let me ask you this. Is she white like Angelina Jolie white, or is she white like the late Anna Nicole Smith white?
Those are the two different whiteness?
Yeah, that's the two different
Angelina
whiteness.
Angelina Jolie, that's the two whiteness categories I choose from? I'm going to go with she's Angelina Jolie white.
All right, well then, yeah, you know, okay. That's
how have you made these segments your own?
Well, it's funny. This is the first time I've ever been in any way compared to Jay Leno. I went a long time without that. I think the thing that I do, and I think there's a lot of different ways to do Man on the Street segments. I just, in general, don't like when people try to stop me and make me do things when I'm walking down the street. So I feel like if I'm going to do that to other people, I'm going to at least give them their say. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, sure.
Like, I feel like if I stopped you, I'm going to treat you well. Because even if we disagree, let's have a conversation. Because I appreciate the fact that you stopped to talk to me. Because you didn't have to. You were doing things. We had a producer get in your face. So I just feel like even if I disagree with you, let's have a good conversation and I'll respect you and we can make fun of the issue without me needing to make fun of you.
That's real considerate, I think. That's
yeah,
cool.
And I mean, and sometimes people make fun of themselves, which is like that's their prerogative. You know, we had a 50-year-old woman, white woman who wanted to rap Tupac, and I was like, well, you've decided to do this. I'm going to let you do this, but you know, a lot of times the laughter in those segments comes out of me and the person discovering something as we talk.
How did you end up in this place? Did you want to be a stand-up comedian for a long time since you were a kid or anything like that? Or
yeah,
what?
No, I always wanted to be a stand-up comic. That was the once I realized, like as I've said before, once I realized that superhero wasn't actually a job option, I decided I wanted to be a stand-up comic.
Each episode of the show includes an interview segment. Are there any guests you've especially that you consider especially memorable?
Oh, I mean, our last episode of this of our season of, you know, we're still in the middle of season one, but our last episode was Don Cheadle, and he was amazing. I mean, it was the first time we got an A-list actor, and I'm not even sure how we got him, you know, but we got him, and we let him go. But you know, he was really came to play and had a good time. And we had a really good conversation, and you know, I just never imagined that, you know, he would want to be on the show and that he would come really wanting to have a good time. I mean, at one point he got up and walked out of the interview because I referenced the fact that he hadn't won an Oscar yet. So, you know, so, I mean, that was a really fun moment. And, I mean, so that one was really special. That was the last one I did. But, you know, a lot of the interviews have been great. You know, the second episode, the first episode we had Chris Rock as the interview, which was a little bit cheating because he was, you know, standing next to me the whole week.
Yeah.
But the second show we had Rachel Maddow, and she was amazing. And again, we were nothing. We had just barely started, and she decided to, she heard about it from one of the people who worked on our show, and she came by and did it. And so I think that really, like, legitimized us in a way.
You know, since Cheadle hasn't won an Oscar, he's still subject to getting frisked, I guess.
We haven't put the list together yet. So even if he does win an Oscar, he's subject to getting frisked. We need to put that list together. Me and you will work on that.
Who's on your wish list of people you'd like to get
Denzel
on the
Washington.
Show? Denzel Washington.
Yes, Denzel Washington.
How come?
I'm a huge fan of his, and I'm of the age that I sort of feel like I've grown up with him as an extra dad. And I just think that he's probably the last African-American actor in Hollywood who's going to have to carry that, that baton of I'm America's black actor. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
Like, Sidney Poitier passed it to him, and he is sort of like, he's still holding on to it, but it's like Will Smith's a big actor, but he doesn't have to carry it in that same way. And so I feel like Denzel's really a connection to another time in Hollywood and clearly takes it seriously. And I think, you know, I see him on talk shows all the time. He's a really funny guy, but I would love to actually talk to him about that stuff, too.
Back to Chris Rock for 1 minute. Does his acting career give you thoughts of acting yourself?
You know, man, I gotta learn how to do this TV show first. Like, I feel like people have asked me occasionally, like, oh, what do you want to get into acting? It's like, I want to stay on television, you know. So I think that, you know, if this keeps going the way it's going and we stay on the air, we have 7 more episodes starting May 9th, and then, you know, if they pick us up and we come back later, you know, I really, at this point, you know, I'm a pretty singularly focused person, and like, it's really important to me that this show sort of digs in and becomes a part of the national conversation. And if that point that happens, then maybe I'll look into movies. But right now, I'm really focused on the show.
W. Kamau Bell, star of FX's Totally Biased. He's performing tonight in Grand Rapids at Gilda's Laugh Fest. It's the W. Kamau Bell Curve, ending racism in 1 hour.